Hey, everyone. It is Andy Scullin, producer of Two Normal People. Angelina is off this week for the holidays, but we'll be back to record the intros for these episodes next week. But, you know, for right now, you get me. And for this intro, basically, I'm going to let you know that I haven't actually heard the episode yet. I'm recording this intro before doing the editing of the episode. So I wish I could tell you I knew what Angelina and Julia talk about, but I don't. I'm going to find out. I guess I'll know but before you do. But as of this recording, I don't know. Enough of me. We don't need to hear any more of me. It's going to be a great episode. Every episode Angelina does is. So without further ado, let's check out Angelina's conversation with Julia Alsaroff on Two Normal People.
Talking to normal people.
Hi. Hello. Literally, like, how are you?
The unanswerable question.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I reached out to a friend the other day and I said, how's it going? And she said, it's going. And I recognized that response for what it is.
Yeah.
Which prompted me to probe further and determine what was not going so well, because that is the classic non-response that I think I have conditioned myself to give when things are not going well, and I think a lot of us have right now.
So true.
And always, but right now. Especially.
Yes. Yeah. In college, we used to just say, it's going really well.
The longer the really is, the worse it's actually going.
Correct. You get it. Yeah, you get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of just like, that's the response of like, don't ask me, but ask me.
Well, right. And I'm trying to just be more direct these days.
Which is great, I think, overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the ideal.
Yeah. Well, and it's a continual dance of knowing when that conversation is appropriate to have and when, you know, I think sometimes we give ourselves and other people, we're like, this conversation that we just started, right? Of just like, oh, it's going, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, with my friend that I mentioned, it was time to probe, but also sometimes you're just in the checkout line, right?
True.
I can start bawling in the checkout line.
And
that ended up actually being a line in a song that I wrote recently.
Oh my God, I love that.
But yeah, there's a time and a place for everything, I guess.
Yeah. But also sometimes I think about it, like I was literally in Price Chopper the other day and I was just like walking and everything kind of like hit me in a wave. Because I was just like, this is so insane. I was like in the grocery store and I was just like, oh, it feels so nice to like be in the grocery store. And then I was like, why does it feel nice to be in the grocery store? And then I was like, because everything's in its place and everything is labeled and everything is just organized and it's clean. And then I just like started to tear up and I was like, okay, like it's okay. It's going really well. It's going really well. So then also sometimes I'm like, at the same time, maybe you can't have the breakdown in the checkout line, but like also maybe you can.
Yeah.
Cause also like, I feel like we're just like human beings and sometimes you just have to cry in the checkout line.
Yeah.
What's the line in your song?
Don't mind me. I'm just crying in the checkout line, but it comes after the line. Everything is fine.
Everything is fine. Don't mind me. I'm just crying in the checkout line. Brilliant. Oh my God. I love that. Are you recording that one?
Not right now. That one is on. So I wrote two albums over the last two winters and
that's so amazing.
I'm currently writing the one from two winters ago and then next will be the one from last winter.
Okay.
Which seems to be writing time. And I do
I was just going to ask you that. Yeah, I was like, okay, you're like a winter writer.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I am too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really write a lot in the summer because I feel like summer's just like everything is like coming out in a different way. And then winter is just like more internal processing time for me.
Yeah. You're like sweating it out in summer. And then winter. It finally has to come out some other way.
Yeah, true. Yeah. It's like I need an outlet and it's not my sweat.
Yeah. But I do think that there is something about the, like, the grocery store as the quintessential banal experience.
Yes.
That forces you maybe in some ways to look at what is happening in your inner dialogue.
Yeah.
Because there's just, you're doing, it's routine, right? It's like, yes, the same thing as washing the dishes and like.
Yes. Doing laundry.
Yeah. Yeah. All of those moments that are just engaging enough that your mind turns to like solving its own problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Better than it does when you're trying to do that consciously.
Correct. Right. Because, and it's also, I think there's something about the act of like having a physical thing that you're doing a physical thing also that like helps your body process. Like that's what I like read this thing once that was like, if you need a change of like mind, like of mind direction, go for a walk.
Yeah.
Like you just need to move your body and then like the also things in your mind move.
Yeah.
Which is also, I guess, why like, you know, working out is important. Like our physical health is really linked to our mental health. Like imagine that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go to a kickboxing gym now.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Where?
It's in Troy. It's called Focus Master.
Oh my God. Badass.
And it's really fun. It's a different kind of experience than walking because it's like totally. Very much sensory overload and stimulus input. And like, I actually have to wear earplugs there because
it's
very loud.
Yeah.
But, It does serve the function of like, getting me out of my head when,
yes,
especially in the morning, when that is when I am the most cruel to myself. And so it's really great to just like get out and go and do that. And,
kind of like cut that shit off at the knees.
Yeah. And the mixes are usually really good. I don't know where they get them from, but as a musician, I also find it to be a somewhat rewarding auditory experience.
Oh.
Of like, oh, I didn't know that that chorus like could work so well with
this kickboxing. Yeah. Oh, you literally like match the music.
Yeah.
Oh, they do that.
Yeah, and they're really good. They'll take like the saddest, minor key song and put it over. You know, just imagine your run of the mill like 4-on-the-floor. Like, this works.
What? Like, who's the DJ putting these together?
Yeah, we'll have to find out where they get them from.
Yes. Oh my God. That is so funny.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? And I like that you can appreciate that because that could go poorly. Quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always, of course, risky. There was a song this morning that was playing that is not problematic for me personally, but it was something like a somebody get me a drink thing. And I was thinking about like how somebody who maybe is like going to the gym as part of their like sobriety journey.
Yes.
And just, so it is dangerous,
yes,
I think, to have,
yes,
music with lyrics playing at a gym because it's one of those other spaces like we were talking about where you just kind of become emotionally vulnerable because of the state that you're
totally
in.
Totally, yeah. I mean, being at the gym is so vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's so vulnerable. I literally, like, I've been going to PT since, like, March. I was doing stuff for my shoulder, and then I was doing stuff for my back, and I'm probably going to go back for my knees soon. But I was, like, at the gym, and I saw the piece of equipment that I needed that, like, I use at PT. And I was, like, literally staring at it. And then I was, like, it's over by, like, all the weights and just, like, all the gym bros. And I was just, like, I can't do it. And I just turned around and went to the elliptical. Like, I was just like, I can't do it. Like, I just like panicked, which I know is also just like no one at the gym. Like when I'm at the gym, I'm literally not looking at anyone else. Like, do not care.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I'm like, everyone is looking at me and everyone's going to judge me like so hard. I don't know why.
Oof.
It's so dumb.
Yeah. No, it's there's no cure for being human.
Also true. thank you for that.
Yeah. It's something that,
right, I am just a human being, god damn it. Like, I didn't, oh my God.
Yeah, there tends to be, and I'm trying to remember who the author is that wrote this piece of writing that a friend sent to me that had that in it, but a lot of what she was talking about was this idea that the health and wellness industry is great in some ways, of course, right? It's helping us like work through our stuff, but there is sometimes always this underpinning of like, is the end goal to like overcome this? Because there is no overcoming this. There is only like you can work through your stuff and learn how to better manage the fact that you're human. But it's called the human condition.
But at the end of the day,
reason, right?
Yes.
It's like, it is a condition.
It's a
of our existence.
Yes. And I feel like I, two things on that. One, I remember listening to a podcast. It was a podcast about the Enneagram, and it was like a little more, it was a little more like religious based. It was kind of interesting. And, they were talking about, they said the phrase, you're a human being, not a human doing. Which I like love. And then the other thing that that made me think of was like Ram Dass. Do you know who Ram? Okay. Mm-hmm. He has like this thing where Alan Watts, who's this other, like, this other speaker, said to him, like, you're too attached to unattachment. And he's like, you have to remember, like, you're here to be a human. Mm. Like, you're here to experience on earth what it is to be a human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was talking to a student last night too, who showed me this video. Do you know who Hai Ren is?
No.
He's like this Welsh guy who experienced, like, he was like walking around with undiagnosed Lyme disease for a really long time. And like, no one could diagnose what was going on with him. And then also like severe psychosis. And which I'm curious if those two things are intertwined. I need to like read more about him, but, and my student was just like, well, like, look at this. Like, I could never do like this. Like, what's even the point of creating? Because like this exists, right? Mm-hmm. Like when people get into like that headspace. And I was just like, but we're all walking around like with such specific experiences, like as we are all connected in this human condition. It's so interesting to think about, like, what's happening in my brain and what's happening in your brain are just two completely different things.
Yeah.
So, like, if you created, it would inherently be different than anyone else's creation because no one has the exact set of experiences that you have, even if you have a twin. Yeah. Like, it's, I feel like it's all different. Like, there's like, our brains are just wild.
Although I was thinking about that exact quote on the way here about being a human.
No
so,
way!
So I'm not convinced that we're separate after all. But
so we are linked! But we are!
Yes, yeah. The interconnectedness of all things.
I just had a, had a meditation group on Sunday, and we were like, that was like one of the big things that we were talking about in this meditation group. And it was like, we were working with this one gem, and it was just like, this girl was like, yeah. I was just like, it was like, we were all here, and then like, we were all here, you know? And I was like, yeah! It's like so wild. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting though, because it's because we exist in time, right? So to be human is to do something, and that then it raises that question of like, right, what should I be doing with this time that I have here to be human? And
oh my God,
I'm gonna try and answer that right
now.
But but I do think that there is something going back to what you said about your student and the video that they showed you, I've paid more attention over the past few years to this response of intimidation versus inspiration. And I feel like there is something about, sometimes it's an internal block, right? Sometimes it's like something that we are thinking or doing to ourselves that is leading to that response. But I also think that sometimes there is something in a performance that is sort of asking to be rewarded, and that I find that I am kind of averse to that as an audience member. Like, I no longer am impressed by a thing that is designed solely to impress me. Like, I am always just really seeking, like, some type of connection. Like, you're the experience is ideally meant to increase human connection, in my opinion. Obviously, people can have their own, but but I love being inspired by a performance.
Yes, like I know a performance is really good when I leave and I want to go home and write music.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. 1,000%.
Yeah, and I think people can have their versions of like why they're creating or why they're doing the thing that they're doing, but like if it's not to like further connect us, then like why are you doing it? I guess I don't know, like, what is the other reason for fame, for money? Like, I don't And I was just talking to, who was I talking to about this the other day? And just like the reasons, actually it was Andy Gregory. And we were talking about, yeah. And we had a really great conversation. I've never been able to like really get in like really, really deep with him. And, it was just like, it was like 95 degrees at Stella's at the Van Dyke in Schenectady. And we were just like, I had a gig and he was there. And then the other band was playing. And then all of a sudden we were just like getting into this and just like talking about why we're all doing what we're doing and for what reason. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I think for a long time I did it for me. Like I was just like, I'm one of four children and like, no one knows that I exist. Someone look at me. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I think that that's why I did it for a really long time. And I really had like a come to Jesus moment at the end of last year where I was just like, I can't do it for that. Like this, it's killing me. It's draining me. Like mm-hmm. if I'm constantly up here looking for your approval, audience, it's so draining.
Yeah.
So literally like the Luna gig that I played yeah. in January was like the first gig I'd played in probably like a couple months. And I was just like, oh, this is why I'm doing this, is like for like the interconnectedness, for mm-hmm. like my soul to your soul is the ideal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. 1,000%. And it's one of the reasons why I love playing with you.
I know. And it's been like too long. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Cause it's just, that is a joyful act. Even if the songs themselves may or may not be joyful, the act in and of itself is. I have been through the ringer for the past few years. And so my songwriting has changed as a result of it.
Yeah.
And I played a show, I think it was last December. And
oh, yeah, because I think you asked me to do that too.
Yes.
Yeah. And I like couldn't do it. It was like insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was
it
so
always
upset.
Happens that way too. I feel
know.
Like there was a date in October that I got asked to do like three different things and I was like, I'm still unavailable.
Yes. Yes.
No matter how many people ask.
Still unavailable. Yes. Yes. But, oh my God.
But these songs, I've been kind of jokingly calling the genre despair punk.
I'm obsessed. It's like, I'm obsessed.
It's like sad girl guitar, but
yes.
like with too much distortion.
Yes.
And so I had a friend
God.
Who was more accustomed to my sort of like contemporary folksy kind
yes.
of mellow indie pop sort of stuff or whatever. And she came up to me afterward. I ran into her somewhere and basically expressed her distaste for this new thing that
oh
I was doing.
God.
Which I thought I don't know what you're hoping for in this interaction,
yes.
but like I'm not gonna change my songwriting. I'm you know,
wow, that's
I
wild.
Honor that, right?
I don't know like, what you're hoping for in this interaction, but like, okay, thank you. What the fuck? Oh my
it's
God.
It's feedback.
I mean, everybody has an opinion. Yeah, but yeah. keep going. I just can't believe that. Like, where were you?
I can't say because
okay,
if
fair,
I say it will
fair.
Give away
yes.
who this person
yes.
is.
But I'm just like in the middle of like what in the grocery store and like yeah. hey by
that
the
was
way
before my checkout line crying
yes!
experience.
Yes. And then just in the checkout line like, well fuck, who am I? Yeah. Oh my God.
But it was, you know, it was
so
a really
funny
important interaction. Because yeah. I feel like for me it showed me something that I was really happy about, which is right. Yeah, this isn't the stuff for you, right? Like,
yep.
this isn't for you.
Yep.
I wrote it for me. There are people for whom it resonates with, and you're not one of them.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's, like, just letting go of that and being okay with that.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. No, that's so freeing, because then you're just creating to create. Like, you're creating to like process your life and your emotions, and then if it happens to reach other people, great, and if it doesn't, then they can like let that go.
Yeah.
But I have like a real problem, you're making me realize this, where I'm just like I think it's just I'm a people pleaser. I think that's it. And so I'm just like, if you don't like, I'm like, if you don't like my music, this is a piece of me. You hate me inherently,
the
right?
Self-worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being tied to
ascribing of
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Well, and it's interesting for me, what's been really rewarding and helpful to observe in that experience was that I do think that I tend toward the unhealthier side of people pleasing in and historically have in my like relationships and friendships.
Totally.
And
oh, so definitely same.
So it was like this one little nugget that I held on to was like, at least I'm uncompromising in my music, right? Like this is the one thing that I refuse to give to anyone else.
Yes.
I will gladly bend my own desires and personality into whatever I think another person wants. Sadly,
yeah.
My
yeah.
therapist and I are having nice chats about
yes.
that now. We're working on
it. Yeah, yeah, I feel that. I really feel that.
So
I definitely used to do that. I think that yeah. I think it's a slow process, but like the undoing is always slow, right? Because it's like what you've been doing has been happening for as long as you've literally been alive.
It's habit. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I talk about this like in like voice lessons with my students a lot. I'm like, we are literally undoing however old you are years of whatever you've done up to this point.
Yeah.
But it's the same with like our coping mechanisms and are like the literal way that our brain is wired.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think about this too, like I learned about this in college, like was like when you learn a skill, it literally, it digs grooves into your brain. Right. And those like, they like dig in there. Like she's like, I remember my professor being like you learn the violin, like there's a groove in the brain and it connects these couple of things and it's in there. And then if you stop playing the violin, the groove gets like less and less and less and less and less.
Mm.
And then like, if you pick it back up again, like it'll dig in again and like connect to other things. And like all these like little weird grooves like connect. And I just like think about that all the time in terms of like also the way that we live our lives and in the way of like, well, this is what I did to survive. Literally this is what I did to survive as a child.
Right.
And then it's like undoing that.
Yeah.
Is well, wild.
And grooves are interesting, of course, because there is also like people talk about sounding like a broken record, right? Or in like
right.
those thought patterns that we get into. And
yes, stuff. But
yeah.
it's because they're literally wired in.
Yeah.
Like they're dug into your brain.
Yeah.
So then to undo those thought patterns, or not even just thoughts, but some thoughts, but like physical actions or words that you say or ways that you react to things. Like I remember like the first time that I had a moment like in my relationship with JP where I was like, oh, actually, this doesn't have anything to do with me. And I can just be here to support you.
Mm.
Like, and I was like, whoa, like that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I just literally undid like 29 years worth of pattern yeah. in
you
that moment.
Became your own turntablist, your own DJ.
Nope.
yeah.
That's how it felt.
Take that, rewind it back.
Oh, sure. Got that. Yeah. That was... I love that. Oh my god. But yeah, so like not only are we like undoing what we think are just like we're literally undoing grooves in our brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
That takes a lot.
Yep.
And it's you have to be so resilient.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also makes me think of like Sharon Salzberg is like this meditation teacher. She does loving kindness meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And her thing she always says is begin again.
Yeah.
Begin again.
Yeah.
If you're literally in your meditation, oh, there goes my thoughts, begin again.
Yeah.
And so like that I think has also helped me too, of just like you can restart at any moment.
Yeah. 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 I would say I've been doing a lot of restarting and,
mm-hmm. It's hard. It's tiring.
It's yeah.
It's easier to go the route you've always gone.
Yeah.
Those grooves are dug in.
Yeah.
Like your patterns, the feet are like the path in the forest
yeah.
is there. It's harder to traverse the one that you've never gone through, you know?
That imagery is a lot more calming than the imagery that's in my mind. Like I saw it. I reached a moment where I was like, I am floating between these two like cliffs, right? Like I'm in the middle.
Oh my god, that's so horrifying.
But that's like the image that's yeah. in my mind, right? And on the one side is like the past and the way that I've seen things, and now I'm at this point where I can't actually go back to that.
Yeah.
Because I have a new lens and it's enough to be averse to that. But I'm still super scared of what's on the other side because I don't know what it is. It's unknown.
Ugh. Yeah. This is a whole thing. This is a thing I've been thinking about a lot too, because actually literally in this meditation on Sunday, we were, so it's this like monthly meditation that I do with this, girl. Her name is Turn a New Leaf, Massage and Intuitive is like what she does. She used to be a massage therapist and now does like work with gemstones. Well, like, I think I've talked to you about her before, maybe. But we'll like lay them on your body and like do all these crazy things. And she's like very intuitive. Like my grandma came through in a session once. Like, I'm also just like, you're also a medium, Erin. And she's like, no. And I'm like, yes, you are though. But she hosts this monthly meditation group and it's like, you show up if you can, whatever. And then she records them and you can do the recordings at home. But I always feel like it's a little more powerful to like be in person with the gems, and it's also really cool to just like do this. It's a group of women. There has never been a man in this room, which is kind of amazing. And I'm like, I'm also like the youngest person there. Like all of these women are probably like 50 plus. And so it's also fascinating just being like, oh, you're all still like on this journey of like self-discovery and like self-worth, and like you're all still undoing patterns too. Like we're all in the same boat. Like it's just wild. But we were doing this like series that we're doing is like polarity. So we worked on like root and crown chakra on Sunday. And basically root is like grounded, earth, good. Like we worked with onyx, and I was just like, yeah, I could literally sit here all day. Like love this, wanna be here. And then we started like talking about the crown chakra, and we worked with amethyst. And the last time we worked with amethyst, I had this really averse like reaction to it. Like it like literally my fight or flight like kicked in, and I was like, I gotta fucking go. Like I can't be here and work with this. It was so weird. Never had a moment like that before. And so when she put this down on the table again, I was like, we'll see what happens here. And but we were working with amethyst in connection to your crown. And so we go through the whole meditation and we do the thing, and we all do like a little share after we do each stone. And so everyone was like, that was amazing. It felt so good. And, blah, blah, blah. And she got to me and I was like, it was better than the last time. But I was like, I really had to like fight myself to be like, okay, I don't need to leave the room right now. Like it's fine. And then she was like, oh, you know, actually like Erin, the woman like leading the session was like, oh, actually, you know, I forgot to say like in my opening about the stone that one of the biggest things connected to your crown and to like to this amethyst thing is faith and like trust in like the divine or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
And the woman next to me was like, oh yeah, like I just have like so much faith. And I was just like, what? Because I literally was sitting there just like, oh yeah, no. Like I think that I have trust in like the next step, but I'm the same way where it's like, I think I take controlled moves to maybe get over there instead of just the fall. Like that is like you saying that is, I also feel that it is the most terrifying thing to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a very long way for me to say that I've been really ruminating on this for the last couple of days.
Yeah. Well, it was, something sort of related to all of this, was that I played a show with Sydney Worthley at Cafe Lena.
Oh, nice.
Recently. Really, really great show. Oh. So much fun. And she was sitting at the piano for a song and talking about the origins of the song and kind of things she's thinking about in relation to it. And she said something that she had read somewhere with regard to growing up, and that we're all doing it for the first time. And that really, like, just that really struck me in that moment. Yes. Of like, yeah, okay. Like you said earlier, all of our experiences are unique, but we are also collectively all going through this, yes, like, this thing together in our own way.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And it's so weird that we're so disconnected. Yeah. Like, as connected as we are, like, it's like we've never been more connected, but we've also never been more disconnected.
Well, the opening for my anti-social media soapbox is...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because also, I do want to talk to you about this, because I feel like I've asked you this before, but I'm just like, what do you do with your time if you don't rot on TikTok? Like, what are you doing? Like,
well...
And I want to ask that, and I also want to ask if you ever feel like you're missing out on something by not doing it.
Oh, for sure.
But does it outweigh your mental, literally your mental health?
It does become I don't want to say, well, there is risk reward, sure, but pros and cons maybe is more apt. I was thinking about texting because that's like the last piece of what I feel like my tethered electronic world is. I love a good text riff, right? Like back and forth banter where you're just like cracking up by yourself in your living room. Yes. Like, I love that. Yes. But there is also, even to that, a little bit of an emptiness in it. And I think that it's okay to both acknowledge that that's something that I enjoy. Yeah. And to question, is that something that I am willing to let go of in favor of other things. And it is more of a challenge than I think I anticipated. But social media in and of itself, like things like Instagram and TikTok and whatever else, I think I've been out of it long enough now that I never had either of those platforms in particular, but I've been out of that world long enough that it has no lasting appeal for me.
Yeah.
I do think I probably miss things, and that sucks sometimes, right? Yeah. Like, there is a world that is around me, that exists around me, that I am not a participant in, and there is a loneliness in that. But I also am not willing to take on the things that I know for me personally are not good for my mental health.
Yeah.
In order to engage in what some of those rewards might be.
Yeah. What do you think those rewards would be?
Well, I think ultimately for me, it's mostly just, it is that feeling connected, right? And it's delayed gratification in a way, because I think ultimately the belief that I maybe hold on to in some moments where I am feeling lonely is that the deeper satisfaction for me will come from when I am genuinely connected to people.
Totally.
And
'cause I was just gonna say to you, like, any connection you think you're missing out on doesn't exist. It doesn't. Like, it truly doesn't. Like, when I think about, I mean, I guess it's like, okay, like, I met Sydney and TJ over Instagram, you know, like that maybe does happen, but it's like the real connection happens when we meet in person and then become friends and then we're texting, you know, like TJ and I send each other 10-minute voice memos back and forth. But like, that's like when it really actually happens. So it's like, maybe that is an initial connection, but truly, like, I mean, you already know this, but you're not missing out on anything. And you're also, I feel like, well, are you, like, do you consider yourself extroverted or introverted?
Ooh, this has been an interesting topic over the past few years. I've always thought of myself as extroverted, but I have been labeled as an introvert by many people.
Oh.
I don't know. I might be an ambivert.
Oh.
If that's a thing.
It totally is. Yeah. It totally is.
I find that sometimes social situations are exhausting and sometimes they're incredibly filling. And
just depends on the people, I think.
Probably it's a lot of different factors.
Yeah. Yeah. Valid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to say related to all of that, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
No.
I just had like something good happen in the sound. And
oh,
I
good.
Yeah. I don't know like why that happened, but hopefully that whole first half is okay. Andy, you can cut this out. I'm sorry. But it was my microphone that was like being weird, but then it just stopped. So I don't know why it did that. But I care more about what yours sound like, so it doesn't really matter what I say.
Oh, well, okay. Unrelated to buy time, in case I remember the other thing.
Yes.
I was curious to know how the practices that you were describing have affected your songwriting, if they have.
What practices?
The stones and meditation.
Oh,
and
just like all that. Oh my God. It's crazy. I mean, it's wild. I'm definitely out of it more than I have been. Like I was definitely so into it probably until like, I don't know, a couple of years ago, but like all of those things kind of stay, it all kind of stays with you. Like you can't ever backpedal from like those kinds of practices. I think you like reach a level, except maybe meditation. Like every time I meditate, I'm like, I have to do this more. Like I have to do this more because I, in like the last few years talking about being introvert, extrovert, like.
Yeah. What would you say you are?
Oh, introverted for sure. For sure. Like people just drain me. Not everyone. You don't drain me. But like a lot of people do. There are a few who don't. Most of the people I invited on this podcast are people who don't drain me because I'm like, I can't afford to be drained anymore. Like I just can't afford it. But I think like it has informed my songwriting so much. Like I would leave sessions with Erin and like come home and write songs. Like it was just like, poof, there it is. And it also just like has affirmed. It is one of these weird things that I also feel weird about because I'm just like, I know that it sounds fucking nuts. Like, I know that. I know that I sound like I'm off my rocker when I'm talking about this crown chakra or whatever. But like, I have had experiences that I'm just like, there's some, like, it's energy to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I... barring dangerous and violent cults, I think
correct.
That there are many different ways to get to the same thing, which I don't know. I would just maybe call it love, right?
And that's literally, Julia, that's exactly what it is. Like, that's all that it is to me. And I think that it's just like, it's like, for me, it was also like, after my mom was diagnosed and trying to like process all of that and just like get through a day, like it was just like, I need an answer. Like why? And so I think that that's also your 20s is like a lot of kind of like searching for that kind of like why. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it's like I'm very newly into my 30s, but I just feel so like settled and so much more comfortable in like my body and my mind. For so many different reasons, my God. But like, I think I was just so lost and I was just like looking for a way. And I think like, I mean, I did have experiences where it felt culty and weird. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. Like, and there was always a line and I couldn't tell you like what that line is, but it's just a feeling. It's like a feeling of like, oh no.
Yeah.
No, I'm out. I'm out, bro. Like I'm out. But,
the gut feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also like, that's kind of what it was is I wanted to like build trust in and a comfortability like in myself and in my being and in my like existence. Cause I think I've spent so much time, like just, I spend so much time in my head. Like my thoughts are just constantly like, you know? And I was just like, I can't live like this. Like I have to figure out another way to do that. And, I think the biggest things for me are just like yoga and meditation have made the biggest difference, but also like, every time I leave one of these gem sessions with Erin, my God, I'm like, Erin, I gotta have her on the podcast. But I feel so much more at ease. Like it's just, it's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. So I can't discount any of it.
Yeah.
Cause it's just like it makes you feel too good. Like, and I don't know. And I think that that's also a problem I have is kind of like chasing this like need to feel good all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think like sometimes songwriting is a little bit that for me because it kind of just like helps me process those really difficult emotions. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a really healthy way to do that. But I have a difficult time sitting in difficult emotions. I think that it gets easier as I get older just because everything is so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Brief aside, when you said gem sessions, I thought you said jam sessions, and then I was imagining like gem jam sessions, and I think that could be like
there's something there. But I don't know, like, how do you feel about any of that?
Yeah, well, I have historically also struggled to sit in difficult emotions, and I think songwriting for me has been the only way that I could allow myself to acknowledge some of those feelings.
Yeah, say, oh,
because you enter that space. And, you know, like, I'll write something, which I almost want to say in quotes, because it's just like, it just yeah. forces itself out of you.
Yes.
It's like, okay, here's my chance.
Yes. You know? Yes. Like,
this
yes.
is the only moment yes. I have to say this. So I'm yes. going
to
say it.
Oh my God. That's so true.
And
oh my
such
God.
Such a catharsis to that.
God, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah. And it's this funny irony too, because I used to think that I was like a good communicator because I would write these songs. But in fact, I feel like I wrote these songs because I
am a bad communicator. Yeah.
Not only to other people, but also to myself.
Yes.
And that this was sort of this, like, this one way that I could actually do it. But I remembered the other thing I was going to say about social media
please.
Was that
yes.
you had asked what I do instead and how yeah. I spend my time. And
yeah.
you know, there's no shortage of thoughts running wild in my mind also. So it's like, not having social media doesn't necessarily mean that I ruminate less or like
yeah yeah
fewer fears and anxieties or anything like that. I think the difference that it makes is that it allows for more space to actually sit with those feelings and try to do something else about them than
yes.
distract myself.
Yes. Yeah.
And reading has probably been my biggest distraction lately, but yeah. I find it to be one of those like safer ways.
Yeah,
to,
totally. Because like we honestly, like I was also talking to someone about this the other day, like you can't process everything all at once all the
yeah.
time,
yeah.
which is what I think I wanted to do in my 20s was like solve all of my problems.
Yeah.
And now I think I'm getting to this point where I realize, no, sometimes like we have to distract ourselves. Sometimes your brain does it for you without you even knowing. Sometimes
yeah.
your brain just shoves it down, you know, like repress that.
Well, and not
don't think about that.
Can be rationalized,
right?
Like sometimes things are just sad.
Exactly. And so then we have to be okay with that and like
yeah.
sitting in that. And like, I find that in my songwriting too, where I was like, I could always kind of put a twist on a negative experience and be like, well, I learned this from it. Mm-hmm. And like, this is the positive that came out of that. And like in the last like 2 years or so, I find myself writing these songs that are just like, oh no, like we're just in the shit and we're in it. And like, I can't make it positive right now. Like I just can't do it. And I feel really weird sharing those songs. Mm-hmm. Those songs are the hardest ones for me to play in front of people because I'm just like, I don't have the answer. And I think that for me, songwriting has always been processing and finding the answer and working through. And now I'm even at this point where I'm like, well, I'm writing this song and I'm not working through it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is. And I don't have the answer for you either, audience. Like
yeah.
it, I'm in the shit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
There, what is it Rilke? Living the Questions?
I don't know what that is.
It's a piece of writing. Well, or an ideology, and I'm trying to remember which. There are many writers who have written about it over time, but this idea of, learning to live with the questions as opposed to
Whoa.
Like constantly striving for the answers to them.
Mm. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that. Wow.
So,
yeah, I love the phrase of like learning to live with the question. Ooh,
yeah.
That gives me like chills. Oh my God, you just like. Drew a groove in my brain.
a new vinyl.
Fuck.
New record.
Yeah, new. There's the scratch. Wow,
yeah.
I'm going to be thinking about that for a while. I got to look that up.
Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. This also happened in my episode with TJ where he did something and said something and I just was like, I can't think of anything to say now. Like, what am I so, like, I don't even know how I like bounce back on that. Cause that's just like, I feel like that's been my whole experience in the last like few years. Like literally right now I'm like in the middle of getting a diagnosis for like an autoimmune disease that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I am truly living with the question, like until I can get in and see a rheumatologist in probably 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how backed up our healthcare system is.
Yeah.
I was also
that's a whole other podcast.
No, that's literally a whole other episode. And I was talking to also, this was just like an interesting little like side that I was talking to my doctor and he was like, what? Like, that's how long it's taking for you to get in there? And I was like, yeah, I don't even have an appointment yet. I'm pending triage for a month and then they can call and like schedule an appointment. And he was like, oh my God. And he was like, I think it's also the time of year. And he was like, because like I go to the doctor in Saratoga. And he was like, we get so, our medical system gets so overrun in the summer with just like people coming up here for the summer. And he's like, it's, we can't control it. And like, it's so busy. Wow. And he was like, so that also could be part of the reason, like we're figuring this out right now. And it's when our season of like this, the medical world is the worst up here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just never even thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a thing, like we have all these tourists come up and then like, and that's great. It's money. Like my mom owned a store in Saratoga, like downtown for years. And I was like, we can't really be mad about the tourists because we wouldn't exist as a town and we wouldn't exist as a store. You wouldn't exist as a restaurant without your summer. Like it just wouldn't happen. But that made me be like, I just never thought about that side of it, that it's like, oh, and then everyone who actually lives here can't like get help the healthcare that they need because like we just don't have the systems for it to get through the summer.
Yeah.
It's wild. But yeah, but anyway, but I just feel like I'm living with that. There's so many what ifs for me right now where I'm just like, oh, okay, this is going to be like, this is the rest of my life. Like I'm going to get this diagnosis and this is going to be what I'm going to be living with this forever. Because I was like, everyone's been like, oh, well, like you're getting an answer. Like, that's so good. And I was like, totally 100% agreed. Like, if I have an answer, we can move forward. Like, that's great. But also having an answer means like, oh, this is real. Mm. And I'm just like, this is a problem. And like, this will be a thing that I will be struggling with for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I have been already, but like, it's real. Yeah. You know, it's not that I'm not sleeping enough. It's not that I'm eating too much ice cream. Like, no, it's like my doctor looked at me and said, and I like can't stop thinking about this. He was like, the dice were rolled. Oof. Before you were born. Dice were rolled. It's in your genes. Like you have no control. And he was like, it was going to come out when it wanted to come out. And it decided to come out when you were 31. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh shit. So yeah, I think like that's, I also do in the last couple of weeks find myself getting back to like all these mindfulness practices that maybe I fell off of a little bit because I got more into other kind of coping mechanisms. And now I'm like, oh yeah, I'm finding myself like journaling again. And I'm also now we're kind of in August and my gigs are like tapering off. So now I'm also just like, oh yeah, I want to go write again. And I want to sit at the piano. And I'm like, oh, I'm in process mode is what's happening.
Yeah. 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 They're definitely, I think for me at least, and it sounds like for you that pull, like you start to get that tug.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. It literally is like the piano is calling me. Yeah. 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 I always talk about like that feeling in my chest. Mm. It's for me, it's like, it's in my chest when it's just like, it's like, ooh, I gotta go write a song. Like, yeah. Ooh, it wants to come out, you know? Yeah. Which is, yeah. I like.
Like you have a burp that
needs to come out. It's actually just acid reflux. Oh, it's just indigestion. Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my
emotional God. Indigestion.
Stop. Oh my God. Oh my God. I love that so much. Excuse me, I have to leave. I have emotional indigestion.
Excuse myself.
God, I really gotta go. Sorry. Oh my God. Wow. I don't even know what time we like actually started, but I feel like
emotional indigestion is a good note to.
I know. And I literally like Julia. Like I literally feel like I could talk to you forever. Like I'm not even kidding.
For
like
actual ever.
For actual ever, because I just feel like. And it's so wild because we've shared the stage like three times and hung out like once. Just like, what the heck? And so I just feel like I don't even know you, but like I know, but I feel like I know you.
We
know, you
know? Each other's, what's the term? Suchness. It's I think a Buddhist term.
No way. I've never heard that.
Almost like the essence of, yes, of someone.
That's what I feel like about you, but I'm also just like, what's your middle name?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Top secret information.
Super top secret. No one will know. But like, thank you so much for doing this. This was just like, so I literally feel like I could do this all day, but Andy will kill me
if I don't. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
stop this.
Really nice.
No, literally like anytime. Because I feel like I'm going to do this and then I'm like, but I want to talk to all these people that I've interviewed again. So I'm like, because they're all my friends. More. So, yeah. But also you're recording. Do you know, like, do you have a plan of like release time?
Well, I was fortunate to receive a grant through the Art Center in Troy, one of the re-grants. So it has to be done by December. Oh, you know this world.
Totally. I do. Yeah. Very familiar.
I'm hoping to have it out before then. Probably October with an album release show.
Oh, hell yeah. So, oh, yeah, my God. Yeah. Did you add me to your mailing list?
I think so.
Seriously, do it, because like I want to make sure that I'm there and I want to come see you and I want to be there for it. So, yeah. And everyone just like listen to Julia's music. It's amazing. Oh, yes. Thanks. Yes.
Well, and same, obviously. But
well, it's
fine. They're here, they know. They know. They know what's up.
They probably want me to shut up. But yeah, probably like, okay, enough already. But thank you so much. It was so good to see you. Thank you for coming here and doing this.
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Literally anytime. Talking to normal people.